Caffeinated edition of the Vinnie Eastwood Show on AmericanFreedomRadio.com, broadcasting live from the nuclear-free and name-only New Zealand and the island-chained nation in the sunny, summer, slave South Pacific from the fluoridated, fabulous capital of Auckland on the absolutely beautiful day we have here today. And for those of you in the rest of the world, because you're not broadcasting live from the future like we are in New Zealand, don't worry, I'm sure you'll catch up eventually. But it is the 11th of the 11th, 2011. Adds up to 33. And interesting thing about the number 33, there are also incidentally about 33 current wars going on around the world as we see today, as reported on Al Jazeera, Frost over the world this morning. So let's think about the perpetuity of war and what the real mechanism behind it is. Because when they talk about war, they talk about human nature and revenge and psychopathic freaking Barack H.O. Barrys and prime sinisters, all taking advantage and using it as an excuse to blow the living Shiite Muslim out of people, in some cases, literally. However, what was not discussed on Frost Over the World, Al Jazeera, which spouts global warming propaganda like there's no freaking tomorrow. Interesting, you should think of that, isn't it? Is that they didn't say, well, you know, what would really be handy to get rid of war is if we stopped a private banking cartel funding both sides of every single one of them. Maybe that would be an idea, you know? Peace now, throw out the bankers. Is that not... I thought it was quite a pretty simple solution, you know? Didn't have nothing to do with psychology. Nobody's going to go to war if they don't get paid, man. And if they are going to war without being paid, oh my goodness. They're probably just fighting because somebody else is being paid more. It's all that it is. A big money racketeering. And today, on the 11th of the 11th of the 11th, let it take like 5 seconds silence or something to remember all the young men who were sent into battle by old men who refused to do it themselves, to fight other young men who were fighting for other old men who were both financed by all the same banks anyway. Yeah. I think a little bit of respect now and then might be an idea. Respect the facts. Speaking of the economy itself and the various eclectic forms of scumbaggery that we have in our systems of government, we have a specialist here for you today, ladies and gentlemen. His name's Ian Parker, and first time I heard of Ian Parker, he gave me a call on the phone, and 3 hours later, the phone battery was about to die, so I had to bid him farewell. So, we decided to bring him on for 2 hours. Because he doesn't, shall we say, put things lightly, and he makes sure that enough is said about the subject so that you can understand it. And considering the level of general scumbaggery of the government and the issuance of currency, that's quite freaking extensive. So, Ian Parker, welcome to the show.
Hello, Vinny. Big raps, mate. I hope I can live up to the...
Live up to the what?
The big rap you just gave me of being a specialist.
Yeah, well, as far as I'm concerned, people often specialize in their own areas of research and they don't consider themselves specialists because in general they're just doing it because they want to do it and they want to do the right thing. And activists in general who do a hell of a lot of work are very humble people. So I feel the need to give them titles and promo and whatnot because they won't do it for themselves.
Thank you very much, mate. It is good to be appreciated. It's been it is at times a long and lonely struggle. That is for sure. But things are happening in the world at the moment, and I don't feel quite so alone with knowledgeable guys like yourself and many others in what I would call a a rising network of our economic reality in this country that is definitely on the move.
Well, it's always interesting when you talk about money, because a lot of people really love it. Oh, they love money. It's got to be good for you. How could it not be good for you? If you've got enough of it, you could buy prostitutes.
Yes. Well, hey.
Some of them even wear suits and white lab coats.
Yep. Well, there's money for everything, really. If it's physically possible, Vinny, it can be fiscally possible. A chap called Michael Joseph Savage once said, who a lot of people in New Zealand respect. But in reference to your opening there about the banks funding all sides of wars, wouldn't it be it's amazing how they can always find money for conflict but not money for peace, isn't it?
Well, see, peace is actually the norm. You know, most countries aren't at war for the majority of the time, and occasionally there'll be some description of real nasty scuffle there, and they just kind of live the aftermath.
Yep. I would suspect if you ask the average person like me, just a simple man looking for a simple life, that wants to get from one end to the other with their dignity intact, basically not ever wanting for food and water, how many people in the world do you think would take that option right now?
I've no idea.
I would imagine it would be a lot. A lot of them wouldn't be all looking to become the richest men in the graveyard, I don't believe.
Well, see, I was wondering, you know, if you actually... hereditary title, think about it like this. There's banking families, aren't there? Like, there's law families and doctor families. You know, my dad's a doctor, his dad was a doctor, we were all doctors. You know, it's a doctor family. And that's what's going on here with international finance. The problem is they've got the capacity to create wealth out of fresh air.
Oh, definitely. And I would imagine that it's hard to put an exact figure on, but there would be less than 30 families, I would imagine, that own at least 80% of the financial stocks in the world, and in turn, those via the extraordinary powers of the financial, so-called financial service sector, the evidence has been done out of Switzerland. They recently studied some 26,000 companies and 126,000 owning entities across 48 countries, and tracked the concentrated ownership back to the same 3% of people that own 80% of the stocks in the entire thing. And all of those were what we refer to as the tier one level investment banks, or the private banking families.
Well, let's think then. Okay. They figured out a scheme. Okay. Now, think about what I said with the hereditary family. Like a doctor's family would like get to the point where they'd own like a very large clinic of some point, you know, and they build that up over generations. And their capacity is taking people who are ill and sending them away well, or preferably with some description of drug that'll just basically keep them at a substantial level of sickness and provide consistent nomenclature for them to come back and buy more. Now, okay. That's a good trick, isn't it? But when you're capable of making $1 trillion, just like that, $1 trillion. Think about that. You ever seen $1 trillion? It's like a football field stadium covered in $100 bills stacked up to your knees, or even freaking ridiculously larger. It's an insane, insane amount of money. More money than you could ever spend, more money than you could ever conceive of, more money than anything anybody would ever need for anything. Except an enormous war, of course. But how does the mechanism actually work? And more to the point, how do we correct that mechanism? And if we can't correct it, to throw a gargantuan monkey wrench into it. And this is what we've brought Ian on here today. To explain that. Go ahead.
Well, at present, the money can be could be the greatest service to society, but at the moment, due to the terms and conditions under which it's issued, it puts society into servitude. Money is only meant to be a means of exchange to facilitate trade, to act as a measure of value and a store of value to allow exchange to take place. But back, basically, the private bankers, 300-odd years ago, took control of the issuance of the currency of governments. Basically, back in England was where it all began. And they issue it as loans. So there's it's admitted now at the highest levels that it is a systemic fraud in itself, because if, as admitted in New Zealand, as if 98% of your, all bar 2% of coins and notes that circulates as our money supply, the rest, the other 98%, originates as loans that make up a bunch of smaller loans, make up our national debt, which is essentially one loan as a whole. As you know, Vinny, when a loan is drawn down, only the principal ever enters circulation. So there is a systemic shortage of principal in circulation to principal plus interest owed. So we fight like cats and dogs to try and achieve the impossible. A few people working harder than they should ever have to might succeed, but you, in turn, you have to beggar your neighbour. But the compounding interest as a whole on your national debt continues to grow. And that's why we have continuous boom-bust receivership cycles. And so basically, once you can't make your repayments because of the unachievable compounding interest, we are forced to sell public assets to corporations that, when you study the ownership of, are owned by the same very people that are making, that currently control the issuance of most of the world's money supply under terms and conditions that are unrepayable from the day it's born. And that is pretty much the guts of what we're suffering at the moment. And unless there is a fundamental reform of the way that our money supply at issuance and the terms and conditions under which it enters circulations changes, nothing else can.
Now, the agents of these money changers go on to be people's presidents, prime ministers, heads of state of some varying shape and degree, heads of major corporations. So, one such sinister character, the prime minister, John Key, you happen to have a bit of info on him. What do you know about John Key?
I know a lot about John Key, and you're the first person of any. I have sent this information that I'm about to divulge to you to most media outlets in this country, to many public so-called public service representatives. This information I'm about to disclose to you is from his own mouth, from some of his compatriots that he used to work with in the financial services sector, and the admissions of what he got up to from the highest levels of such as Bill Clinton himself. Well, John Key he runs around claiming that, as though he blames everything that is why he can't alleviate our financial concerns in this country, on the global financial crisis, and he claims that he's very much tries to put distance between what happened and occurred when he was in those money markets or investment banking markets, but. I allege, and believe I have a refutable proof of from his own mouth, that he was a big part, as big a part as anybody in the actual global financial crisis, such as recent as 2005, he did an article with Fran O'Sullivan in the New Zealand Herald, published on July 20th of 2005, and just to summarise, I'll read some of that article out. This is John Key. Why not have an offshore banking industry based here, he asks. In the right conditions, you could attract 200 banks to register here, each with a CEO and staff. You could attract insurance companies, bring back lots of Kiwi accountants and lawyers, single out clusters such as high-class yachts on other special sectors, as the Irish did. Key is clearly on a roll as he lists the options New Zealand could explore if it decided to abandon outdated ideology and take a more pragmatic approach to growing the economy. The former investment banker knows what he's talking about. As the head of global foreign exchange for investment giant Merrill Lynch, He shifted a considerable amount of his business to Ireland in the mid-1990s to take advantage of a 10% tax rate for foreign investors. The investment was a runaway success. We transferred across the aircraft leasing business, the complex interest rates, derivative business, the entire back office for global foreign exchange, and a huge chunk of private clients' business, says Key. The example of how the Irish transformed their economy into one of Europe's preeminent investment destinations and lifted their per capita GDP has stayed in Key's mind. But as a former money man, he is also interested in how Jersey built its economy on the back of offshore trusts. And just to continue, from John Key's National Party website bio itself, he proudly states his past employment record in banking. John launched his investment banking career in New Zealand in the mid-80s. After 10 years in the New Zealand market, he headed offshore working in Singapore, London and Sydney for US investment banking giant Merrill Lynch. During that time, he was in charge of a number of business units, including global foreign exchange and European bond and derivatives trading. In 1999, John was invited to join the Foreign Exchange Committee of the Federal Reserve Bank of New York and on two occasions undertook management studies at Harvard University in Boston. Yeah.
And we'll have to talk about more of this after the break. Excellent place to lose your breath, Ian. We'll be right back in about a few minutes, ladies and gentlemen, at thevinnieeastwoodshow.com.
Now you and your family and friends can enjoy the cleanest, most delicious, and healthy drinking water anytime, even while traveling, camping, at sporting events, or in emergency situations. The Berkeleyte removes bacteria, cysts, parasites, and harmful chemicals to below detectable levels. It also reduces nitrates and unhealthy minerals like lead and mercury, while leaving in the beneficial and nutritional minerals your body needs. Berkeleyte is so powerful, it can even purify raw, untreated water from remote lakes and streams. And the optional PF2 filters even remove fluoride. The Berkeleyte LED, with its rechargeable lighting system, can be used as a nightlight or a camp light. To view or purchase your Berkey water system and replacement filters, please visit American Freedom Radio's website at AmericanFreedomRadio.com and click the Berkey banner. Once again, that's AmericanFreedomRadio.com and click the Berkey Water banner. Not yet available in Iowa.
Do you realize every day we are being put under constant stress from wireless radiation? What's worse is that you don't even know that it's happening. It puts as much stress on our body as if we had a constant viral infection, draining our energy and sapping our strength, or just making us irritable and fatigued. These wireless fields are being emitted from computers, microwaves, mobile phones, power lines, and any electrical appliance. Now there is a solution. A group of research engineers in New Zealand have come up with an active shielding device that shields you from wireless radiation at a cellular level. BlueShield comes in three models, a household, portable, and USB that plugs into any computer. The great thing about BlueShield is it is very affordable and guaranteed to last. A one-off purchase will see you being protected for years to come. Visit AmericanFreedomRadio.com and click on the BlueShield banner. BlueShield, brought to you by TheVinnieEastwoodShow.com. Feeling stressed, tired, lacking energy, or lacking libido? Now you can take control of your healthcare goals in the privacy of your own home with the use of reliable, high-quality health products from Ideal Health in New Zealand. Conveniently delivered to your door anywhere in the world. You'll find our friendly health team offer well-researched health information plus the highest quality health products. We want to ensure you not only get the best value products available, but also ensure you get the fastest therapeutic results. With over 2,600 pages of health information and natural products, all compiled by our friendly naturopathic team. To take advantage of very special rates, click on the banner at AmericanFreedomRadio.com. And don't forget our convenient delivery service, Ideal Health New Zealand. Leaders in alternative health. That's AmericanFreedomRadio.com and click on the Ideal Health New Zealand button. Proudly brought to you by TheVinnieEastwoodShow.com.
Are you suffering from issues related to angina pain, high blood pressure, congestive heart failure, unbalanced cholesterol, irregular heartbeats, clogged arteries? If so, you are not alone. Millions of people are suffering from one or more of these problems. If you'd like to live your life free of sickness, pain, and fear, live your life with increased vitality, energy, and youthfulness, and experience your body healing itself, then this might be the most important message you'll ever hear. An effective 100% organic nutritional supplement is now available. Heart and Body Extract is an exclusive formula of wild-crafted and organic herbs. It is extremely effective and starts to work within days. Get your Heart and Body Extract today by visiting heartandbody.com or by calling 866-295-5305, 866-295-5305, or heartandbody.com.
Warning. 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 American Freedom Radio is habit forming. American Freedom Radio is habit forming. Use the truth carefully.
Your life, as it has been, is over.
Radio Free Humanity on AFR. Listen to the Paradigm Shift, Saturday night, 10 p.m. Central.
Black sunrise, shadow coming over the sky. Black sunrise, always gonna be a surprise, 'cause we don't know the way it's going to go. 'Cause we can't see the way it's going to be. Thunder clouds rolling in, it's gonna rain.
Because we don't know the way it's going to go, but you can make a difference if you really want to. It comes back to what Ian was saying before about if you want to be successful, you have to work harder than you should ever have to. Okay, that's the way the system is built. So only those who prioritize their work, ditch off their families, stop having time to relax and take it easy, and socialize on a non-work basis, can make it in this world. What kind of people is that? Assholes, that's who. The disrespectful scum. They look down on everybody and just like, oh, you're not like me. You haven't decided to throw your entire life's existence away on some arbitrary thing and gotten profit from it. What a useless bastard you are. You know, that's what's going on here. As far as I'm concerned. But I could be wrong. There's probably plenty of wealthy people out there who are just nice blokes. And now that they don't have to bust their hump all day, every day, they've enabled some time to relax and get back into the flow of things. Because they've got all this money that they can do all their work for them, and they don't have to work again. As opposed to, we shouldn't have interest being charged to the government so that we all have to work harder than we should ever have to in order to get ahead at all. A very special guest is Ian Parker. And we were talking about John Key, the Prime Minister of New Zealand. And just finished reading out an article about how John Key moved his office from, I believe, London or New York or wherever, to Ireland, where they were given tax breaks to financial speculating scum like him. And after they went in there, got all their tax credits and what have you, they bailed on them and then... After, you know, it's basically like a termite eating out the inside of your kitchen table. Somebody goes in there for a decent feed, table breaks in half, everything's all over the floor, and you need to be bailed out. That's basically what happened. Taking advantage of a country to hollow it out so that it can be bailed out. Anybody in New Zealand who thinks that voting for John Key
or for any of the mainstream parties, is going to make a difference any iota, you are freaking retarded. And I mean that very seriously, and you need adult supervision. Ian Parker, welcome back.
Yeah, well, you're well summed up, Danny. You're spot on with people having to work harder, and unfortunately it looks like there's a lot of people in this country that are about to vote to work a lot harder. And you're dead right about the big difference between legitimate and illegitimate business that goes on in the so-called financial service sector. There's a lot of legitimate business people out there, the so-called middle class, that think they're in John Key's club, they're going to find out the hard way. But just back to where we were at with Mr. Key. Of course, the relevance is this period of between 1999 and 2001, when he was on the advisory board of the US Federal Reserve, was at a time when substantial amounts of financial deregulation occurred, like the breaking down of the Glass-Steagall Act, which kept the private investment banks that basically have access to what I refer to as the magic checkbook, that can create money out of fresh air and lend it to people at interest or buy into the real economy. There used to be a check and balance to actually keep those guys so that they'd just actually make money from the creation of money out of nothing, but they realised if you let anybody loose in the real economy with a checkbook that you don't have to earn anything on and buy what you want and lend to people at interest, you're going to eventually monopolise everything. So those laws were broken down in 1999. And there were laws passed by the Clinton administration surrounding the areas of derivatives. There are derivatives, as I've explained before, due to what is now the highly recognised and not even contested at the highest levels, what they're referring to as the money floor, the fact that, especially since the implementation of electronic credit, that 98% of the money supply now originates as loans to private lending institutions. I'll try not to mention it again in the program, Vinny, but there is a systemic shortage of principal to principal plus interest owed to the private lending institutions that eventually enslaves us by a mathematical formula. So these derivatives, so the banking system itself at the very fundamental level is insolvent by design. When it became that, they went absolutely mad and issued more created credit than some of their own lobbyists. I've read reports. They report that I've issued excess created credit to the ability of 8 times the world's current resources to support things like this. So these derivatives, when the system became quite clearly, had run up against what a guy called John Fullerton, the chief executive of JP Morgan, says has run up against the fiscal system has run up against the boundaries of the biosphere. They came up with all of these derivatives, which were basically insurances to make people keep confidence in the confidence trick that the banking system was solvent. They came up with a whole heap of insurances. So you could insure your losses. They claim you could insure your, and then these insurance policies went on to become the new investment vehicles that afflicted the world. John Key was the head of the European bond and derivatives trading. He claimed he wasn't directly responsible for these products, but he oversaw those that were. So he's complicit as anybody, if you ask me. So they basically filled Ireland with a boatload of in excess of created credit, the financial service sector, after being offered all sorts of sweetheart deals. They transferred as much as they could into their own personal trust accounts. Then they fled with that personal wealth. John Key is worth an estimated $60 million today. I would allege that much of it came from
Hold on a second. Didn't John Key, when he first came into office, put a whole heck of his money and assets and everything into a quote-unquote blind trust? Is that the trust you might be talking about that they swindled out of Ireland?
Yeah, those so-called blind trusts that he has no oversight in. That's a whole new topic. But it's been quite clearly observed that he, of course, can see what's in those trusts, and no one's going to give $60 million aside and leave it up to somebody to run, are you really? But
Hold on a second. This is the naivety of the media.
Our prime solicitor has put $60 million of his wealth into a blind thingy that he can't control in order to stop him from doing any nasty business while he's in Parliament with all that stuff that he owns.
Yeah, yeah, it's a joke, Vinny. It's a joke. And,
the naivety.
Well, our mainstream media are just dumbed down to all belief, mate.
The TVNZ blondes are nice, though.
Yeah, of course, mate.
Is that all you can say that's good for them? Right? At least they have some good-looking frickin' Sheilas on there. That's about it.
There are some very good-looking, intelligent reporters on that Russian television, though, I have to admit.
See, do you think girls are hotter when they're hot and intelligent or hot and dumb?
Oh, most definitely. When they have a mind of their own, I think everybody needs their independence, eh? But you've got me off on a tangent again, Vinny. But back to
I'm sorry.
Back to
FCC regulations. It's so, a family show. Okay.
Let's get back to these derivatives. So John Key was that good at creating or overseeing the creation of a means for the financial service sector to bring into creation more created credit than the real economy could support, that he got invited onto essentially the back office for the private central banking network. That's the New York branches of the U.S. Federal Reserve. He's such a, at a time when the deregulation was passed to allow these bankers to go crazy with their excess created credit and their derivatives and their bogus products that actually brought the global financial system down by the time it came around in 2008. He claims to, he always tries to distance himself from being in that industry at a period of, that had anything to do with the current global financial crisis. But in fact, as I've hopefully proved to you here from his own mouth, that he was a major part of it. Now, He was that good at creating the merry money go around. He was invited, one of the few outsiders invited onto the advisory board of the US Federal Reserve itself at a time when all this deregulation was passed. Now, in a recent interview with ABC or PBS, I think it was, in the US in April of last year, Bill Clinton himself, in an interview with Evan Harris, I'll read some of it actually, and it pretty much. So not only John Key admits himself quite proudly at times that he was part of this industry and what he did, depending on what circles and who he's talking to, of course. But and then this is how Bill Clinton summed up his admission that he was wrong in deregulating the financial derivatives industry. In my exclusive interview, I asked former President Bill Clinton if he thought he got bad advice on regulating complex financial instruments known as derivatives from his former Treasury Secretaries, Robert Rubin and Larry Summers. He acknowledged that he was wrong to take advice on those advising him against regulating derivatives. On derivatives, yeah, I think they were wrong, and I think I was wrong to take their advice, because the argument on derivatives was that these things are expensive and sophisticated and only a handful of investors will buy them, and they don't need any extra protection and any extra transparency. The money they're putting up guarantees them transparency, Clinton told me. And the flaw in the argument, Clinton added, was that first of all, sometimes people with a lot of money make stupid decisions and make it without transparency. The former president also said he was also wrong about understanding the consequences if the derivatives market tanked. Excuse me.
You might want to just hang that one up. See, this is the thing. When you got the Glass-Steagall Act, and I found this is great, Glass-Steagall was instituted after the first major financial collapse that caused the Great Depression, because people were capable of putting like a dollar down and getting $10 worth of stock, and it was called the Roaring Twenties. Everybody was in the stock market making heaps of money. All of it basically made up out of nothing. And then the bankers hoarded all their money into gold to protect its value. And then they started a media scare campaign saying that there were runs on banks, and then everybody freaked out, and there was a run on the banks. And as everybody who was a small, decent bank got run out of business, the big, major corporate banksters kept all the wealth for themselves and bought the economy up for pennies on the dollar.
Yeah.
Okay. And then there was a an incredible economic depression, which followed, where 10 million people starved to death in the United States. And that was at a time in which 90% of people lived in rural areas and grew their own food. And today, we have 90% of people living in cities and not growing their own food. So you think about the consequences of a major economic depression. They're quite stark. The word depression doesn't quite meet the mark.
No, no. You have unsustainable sink wells for credit that only have about 5 days' worth of the staples of staple food supplies on hand. If this thing really crashes and freezes up, there's going to be, well, the chaos and the suffering is just going to be unthinkable, Vinny. But before that phone call cut me off, I hadn't actually finished the remarks I was going to quote from Clinton. That phone call interrupted me because the next bit is very, you know, it's very, very pertinent to John Key. So I got up to the bit there. The former president also said he was also wrong about understanding the consequences if the derivatives market tanked. The most important flaw was even if less than 1% of the total investment community is involved with derivative exchanges, so much money was involved that if they went bad, they could affect 100% of investments and indeed 100% of the citizens and countries, not investors, and I was wrong about that. So that is from Bill Clinton himself as to his own assumptions now, only one odd year ago, as to what role derivatives played in the global financial crisis at the very time that John Key was right in amongst it, overseeing it. So it makes a mockery of his claims that he runs around over here. And so then you add to the fact that up until 2004, as recent as 2005, he was singing back here, singing the praises of the Irish economy that they'd created, wanting us to be just the same. And since the collapse, he's been running around stating that we now no longer want to be like Ireland. But I can show you, Vinny, that he, although running around claiming we don't want to be like Ireland, and actually I'll give you an idea from Simon Johnson, the former chief economist at the International Monetary Fund, up until 2008. How he described the Irish economy in an article in Irish Central magazine of May 23, 2010, he said this: Ireland's politicians, rather than facing up to their problems and making things ever worse, simply put, the Irish miracle was a mirage driven by clever use of tax haven rules and a huge credit boom that permitted real estate prices and construction to grow quickly before declining ever more rapidly.
Yep. And that's about right. We're going off to break now. The rapidly declining economy, ladies and gentlemen, isn't it fabulous? It's kind of like riding on a slide into a pool of mud. It's good fun, especially in summer. We'll be right back.
What would your life be like if you woke up each morning with new vitality, feeling better than you have in years, and you noticed a difference in your sleeping patterns, blood sugar levels, and had a sense of well-being overall? There's something that is changing thousands of people's lives, and you could be one of them. It's called Heart and Body Extract. Sharon Harris, co-creator of Heart and Body Extract, talks about the positive effects of Heart and Body Extract.
What happens with the formula Heart and Body Extract is it's giving the body the necessary vitamins, minerals, amino acids, enzymes, and phytonutrients so the body will heal itself. And yes, the body does have the ability to balance blood pressure, balance cholesterol, clean and unclog the arteries. It can also work on balancing the circulation for diabetics. So the body is an amazing thing. It simply needs some help so it has the tools to heal itself.
Heart and Body Extract gets results. To order your 2-month supply, call now, toll free at 866-295-5305. Order online at hbextract.com.
The First Amendment in the Bill of Rights limits the government's power by ensuring freedom of speech and preserves the rights of the people. Every day that passes, our rights gradually slip away. It's time to take a stand and let the government know that we are tired of losing our rights. LibertyStickers.com will allow you to express your rights and allow millions of people to see you stand up for what you believe in. LibertyStickers.com carries the largest selection of bumper stickers online, ranging from political to humorous. As always, you can find your favorite stickers that protest the war and the president. Don't see what you're looking for? Liberty Stickers will custom make stickers that will get your message across for all Americans to see. Go to LibertyStickers.com and see pre-made stickers that will get everyone talking. That's LibertyStickers.com or call 877-873-9626. Liberty Stickers, the world's most dangerous stickers.
Following a radiological or nuclear event, radioactive iodine may be released into the air and then be breathed into the lungs. Radioactive iodine may also contaminate the local food supply and get into the body through food or through drink. When radioactive materials get into the body through breathing, eating or drinking, the thyroid gland quickly absorbs the chemical. Radioactive iodine absorbed by the thyroid can then injure the gland. But you can protect yourself with use potassium iodide, which acts to block radioactive iodine from being taken into the thyroid gland and can help protect this gland from injury. To take advantage of very special rates, click on the banner at AmericanFreedomRadio.com. And don't forget our convenient delivery service, Ideal Health New Zealand, leaders in alternative health. That's AmericanFreedomRadio.com and click on the Ideal Health New Zealand button. Proudly brought to you by the Vinnie Eastwood Show.com.
Now you and your family and friends can enjoy the cleanest, most delicious, and healthy drinking water anytime, even while traveling, camping, at sporting events, or in emergency situations. Tuberculite removes bacteria, cysts, parasites, and harmful chemicals to below detectable levels. It also reduces nitrates and unhealthy minerals like lead and mercury, while leaving in the beneficial and nutritional minerals your body needs. Tuberculite is so powerful, it can even purify raw, untreated water from remote lakes and streams. And the optional PF2 filters even remove fluoride. The Tuberculite LED, with its rechargeable lighting system, can be used as a nightlight or a camp light. To view or purchase your Tuberculite water system and replacement filters, please visit American Freedom Radio's website at AmericanFreedomRadio.com and click the Tuberculite banner. Once again, that's AmericanFreedomRadio.com and click the Tuberculite water banner. Not yet available in Iowa.
Yo, what's up? Check this out.
The voice of the revolution. American Freedom Radio. American Freedom Radio.
Listen to the Ron Paul Revolution Radio Show with Rossi and Brocky. Join the revolution on Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays, 3 to 5 p.m. Central, and only on American Freedom Radio.
I was toting my pack along the dusty Winnemucca Road when along came a semi with a high-end canvas-covered load. If you're going to Winnemucca Mac with me, you can ride. And so I climbed into the cab, and then I settled down inside. He asked me if I'd seen a road with so much dust and sand, and I said, listen, I've traveled every road in this here land. I've been everywhere, man. I've been everywhere, man. Across the deserts, bare, man. I breathe the mountain air, man. I travel, I've had my share, man. I've been everywhere. I've been to Reno, Chicago, Fargo, Minnesota, Buffalo, Toronto.
To the Vinnie Eastwood Show. You're listening to the Rothschilds theme song, except in their house, it's I Own Everything, Man. As they freaking do. My very special guest is Ian Parker. And we were talking over the break about how we should actually just, devote some time to the ongoing financial scumbaggery of the Prime Minister, John Key. Because, I think there's something that really needs to be done about this character very early on. Because New Zealand is freaking enchanted with him. Honestly. I have never seen the girls so flush. They love him. Honestly. Look, statistic, right? 75% of New Zealand females think that John Key is sexy. Now, I believe that this highlights the drinking problem we have in this country. Ian Parker, welcome back.
Oh, yeah, mate. I describe John Key as the clown and the wolf in clown's clothing. He's figured out how to get into the heads of New Zealanders by running around. He drops the odd swear word in the odd speech and gets seen drinking the odd beer. And all of the young people that most people in this country don't seriously look into policy when they vote. It's all done on populism. And a lot of people look at him and they can see more of us in him than they can in Phil Goff. Phil Goff is a pretty inept leader in himself, but he's far more inherently decent than I believe than John Key is. And just back to where we left off before the break, as regards to John Key now claiming that that we now don't want to be like Ireland. But I can, if I'll read out a list of regulations that this government have put in place since I've been in power, and I would allege that it's hard to conclude that, you know, what he's stating publicly certainly isn't what he's doing in the back office. They are setting us up to be just like Ireland, and I believe with the intentions of the same financial, so-called financial service sector buddies profiting just as they did there. As soon as they got into power, they removed the Reserve Bank policy target and the employment from the Reserve Bank policy target agreement. Now, if they're serious about employment, this Reserve Bank policy target agreement is what prioritises the private bank credit when it comes into circulation, actually gives it priority as to what it should do for society. So, you know, the Labor Party have always included employment in that policy target agreement. As soon as National got under power, they took it out. They're in the process of hammering through the House a zero tax for foreign financial institutions moving their money here, money earned offshore, to move it here. Pay no tax on it. John Key claims that we will make the money from when they move their back offices here and basically become a financial hub for the financial services sector in the south, in the Pacific region. Now, when they did this in every other place it's been tried is the sweetheart corporate tax deals to these so-called financial service sector types to move their money here. Once the creative accountancy and so forth are done, every nation they've gone to, they've ended up claiming rebates. They don't pay tax, mate, as you and I know, Vinny. That's what hollowed and gutted Ireland, part of the process. Now, we've put in place here... they passed an exemption to the local lending lending laws to give and set up this local lending authority that now gives the tax rating bases of all the councils are seen as one now as collateral for loans, and they can now borrow from what they call the wholesale money markets or the primary bond dealers under the same operations that our national government does, with exemptions of disclosure to who they borrow this money from. Local councils used to have to get two signatures. I mean, the entire council used to have to sign off on loans. They now have to only get two signatures, and the whole deal is not privy to the Official Information Act. And, you know, this is for, you know, we owe our national debt again and repayments. We're in debt repayment crisis again, territory for sure, so that's why we're looking at selling. Once again, this banker's mathematical trap is, interest trap has rolled over top of us, as it has since we were put into receivership for the first time in 1961. And that was when we started selling it. We handed over our gold reserves then for further funding from the International Monetary Fund. I would put it to you that we've been under conditions of like statutory management, because the IMF is like the receivership branch of the private central banking network. When their mathematical trap rolls over you, they put the receivers in to supposedly say, it's all your fault, you know, you guys stuffed up, you can't run your economy, we must run it for you. But Joseph Stiglitz, the vice president of, former vice president of the World Bank and Nobel laureate, actually knows the workings of the IMF and has stated that they're a hospital that makes you sicker. They actually come in, instead of to trade you out of trouble, they represent the Wall Street banks to trade you further into trouble, to force you to sell more of your assets to the banks.
In other words, their business practice is not partnership. Their business practice is hostile takeover.
An ex-financial balance of payment analyst for Chase Manhattan, a guy called Michael Hudson, clearly he states it as financial. It is a financial invasion. He talks in terms of this is financial warfare. So these are the guys at these levels, at the highest levels of banking. These are the terms they're using these days, and we wouldn't know it in this country with the current media we have. So John Key is putting in place regulation exactly, you know, apart from stating that we don't want to end up like Ireland, step by step, he's putting in exactly the same regulation under exactly the same predatory banking lending practices that allow them to do what they did in Ireland. And so, but we've been selling assets, apart from the last decade, at least Helen Clark's social engineering government had enough sense to know that you don't sell assets, mate, because, you know, once you're in a hole over your head, if you sell your ladder, you're never going to get out, are you? So at least you had enough sense. But up until that period, from 1961 until 1999, we'd been selling assets in this country for 30 years, and yet our national debt was told that that was to alleviate our debt repayment crisis situation, and yet our national debt has still exponentially increased over that period, yet we've been selling away.
That happened for the last 30 years to get us out of debt, and it didn't work. And so now they're saying we need to do it again to get us out of debt.
Yes, they are, mate.
Oh, my God, people are so stupid. How can they just be so blind? It's like they don't have any memory.
Exactly. Well, Gough can't be accused of not having what they call institutional memory, because he was part of the Roger Douglas government that during the receivership of the 80s, because that's what it was, it's receivership at the hands of the international private lending institutions. And but at least in Gough's defence, he has recently came out and made heartfelt apologies and at least says, hey, we stuffed up big time by selling assets, and I now realise that, you know what I mean? But this man, Mr Key, is a different kettle of fish. When he strolls across the road there to the Treasury and the New Zealand Debt Management Office and so forth, he walks in there with a full knowledge of exactly what's going on and what the outcomes are. When Phil Gough goes across there, or I would say he doesn't go across there for fear of ridicule, because he doesn't know what the hell goes on there. That's why it's quite funny. You go down there and you realise just the actual physical the physical locations of these buildings are only 300 metres apart, and yet 95% of the people amongst our public, so-called public representatives in that parliament, don't even know what happens 300 metres away in those buildings there that are ripping us blind.
It's kind of like a drug dealer lives down the street from you. You just never noticed until one day the SWAT team comes in.
Yep. No, it is. They've got a tinny house. They've got a tinny house operating across the road, and everybody just strolls past every day and turns a complete blind eye to it.
The beehive is a tinny house. Okay, I love it.
No, the tinny house is across the road from the beehive in that New Zealand Debt Management and Treasury office, because that's at number one on the terrace, and our Reserve Bank and the cabinet, the office of the Prime Minister and Cabinet's advisors is across the road at number two. And then straight across the road, some 200 metres away, is the beehive.
And for those of you who are unaware of the New Zealand nomenclature, a tinny house in New Zealand, when you buy marijuana, it is wrapped in tin foil, which has become colloquially known as a tinny. And a tinny house is a place usually run by a gang where you run up to the front door, put money through a slot in the front of it, and then they pass you some marijuana wrapped in foil. Hence, the tinny house. And it's not entirely different, because after all, once it comes through the slot, you have no idea what they've actually given you. You have no idea what's been added to it. And also, incidentally, you don't know precisely how much they've given you. And, more to the point, you can't go back and complain, because they'll then hit you over the head with a 2x4. So it's a perfect analogy for the debt management of New Zealand and how it really works. It's a freaking tinny house down the shop.
Exactly. And if for those people that don't believe that...
We'll have to talk about more. We'll have to talk this after the break. My very special guest is Ian Parker, talking about the fabulous banks that passed of John Key and the various, shall we say, machinations of scumbaggery of the New Zealand government on this fabulous day, the 11th. Of the 11th of the 11th, which is supposed to be Armistice Day in World War One. And the reason why everybody wears poppies in order to remember those people is because all of those people that died on those fields in France and what have you, the first flowers that grew out of all of their blood that fertilized the soil was poppies. So now we all walk around with poppies on our lapels, acting like we remember what it's like to die in the mud, cold and alone. You're listening to The Vinnie Eastwood Show. and we'll be right back.
Are you suffering from issues related to angina pain, high blood pressure, congestive heart failure, unbalanced cholesterol, irregular heartbeats, clogged arteries? If so, you are not alone. Millions of people are suffering from one or more of these problems. If you'd like to live your life free of sickness, pain, and fear, live your life with increased vitality, energy, and youthfulness, and experience your body healing itself, then this might be the most important message you'll ever hear. An effective 100% organic nutritional supplement is now available. Heart and Body Extract is an exclusive formula of wild-crafted and organic herbs. It is extremely effective and starts to work within days. Get your Heart and Body Extract today by visiting heartandbody.com or by calling 866-295-5305, 866-295-5305, or heartandbody.com.
Most Americans know the significance of July 4th, 1776. However, few know the importance of September 17th, 1787, the day the Constitution was written and adopted by our founders. Unfortunately, over 200 years later, this sacred document is under attack, along with our beloved Republic. Throughout the span of history, brave men and women have rallied behind banners, which have served as symbols of liberty against the forces of tyranny. Today, we have the Constitution Pride flag to show our support for the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, freedom, liberty, and justice for we the people of the United States. Now available at www.1787flags.com. Get your very own Constitution Pride flag today and receive a free pocket Constitution with your order. www.1787flags.com, the official website of the Constitution Pride flag. That's www.1787flags.com.
What is it that's in your home that causes grown men to cower and children to run for cover?
Fun!
Food storage!
That's right. Food storage shouldn't be scary. At Simply Your Food, we are the premier providers of long-term, storable, GMO, and MSG-free meats, veggies, fruit, dairy, and pantry essentials like powdered butter. We even have a gluten-free line. Food storage shouldn't be scary. Let Simply Your Food help you with your food storage needs. Go to simplyyourfood.com or call 866-251-7511 and let us take the scary out of food storage. Go to simplyyourfood.com or call 866-251-7511 and let us take the scary out of food storage.
What would your life be like if you woke up each morning with new vitality, feeling better than you have in years, and you noticed a difference in your sleeping patterns, blood sugar levels, and had a sense of well-being overall? There's something that is changing thousands of people's lives, and you could be one of them. It's called Heart and Body Extract. Sharon Harris, co-creator of Heart and Body Extract, talks about the positive effects of Heart and Body Extract.
What happens with the formula Heart and Body Extract is it's giving the body the necessary vitamins, minerals, amino acids, enzymes, and phytonutrients so the body will heal itself. And yes, the body does have the ability to balance blood pressure, balance cholesterol, clean and unclog the arteries. It can also work on balancing the circulation for diabetics. So the body is an amazing thing. It simply needs some help so it has the tools to heal itself.
Heart and Body Extract gets results. To order your two-month supply, call now, toll-free at 866-295-5305. Order online at hbextract.com.
No rules, no rules, no taboo topics,
no taboo topics,
no fear of doom,
no fear of doom.
We are American Freedom Radio,
American Freedom Radio.
Welcome back to hour number two of the Vinnie Eastwood Show, coming at you live from Transylvania. In the blood-suckingest capital in the freaking world, it's Auckland, New Zealand.
Yeah.
With an enormous Masonic spire right in the middle of the city, just like pretty much every major city in this entire freaking country. Everybody's got some description of Masonic Tower. Anyway, enough of that. My guest, Ian Parker, we were talking about the economy and John Key in particular. And in fact, have you got any more to say on John Key? Because I presume there's a lot.
Oh, mate, it's John Key, like I was saying perhaps before the break, is when most of our other politicians, well, they don't go near that financial precinct because of their lack of knowledge and fear of being shown up. But like Mr. Key, when he goes over there, he knows exactly what's going on over there, what the outcomes are going to be, and for whom he's working for. And it's actually quite disgusting. And a lot of people have asked me, well, like I say, that information I disclosed to you, Vinny, I have sent to most every mainstream media outlet in this country. I've spouted it off on many blogs, such as BernardHickeysInterest.co.nz. And I put these documents together. It takes a lot of time and effort, and you think, well, no, we've got a winner here. We're going to wake some people up. But hell, that old saying of leading the horse to water and trying to make it drink is just rings true to me, and it's so frustrating.
Unless, of course, you've got a gun to the horse's head, because as we...
or a debt gun, yeah.
Yeah, but, well, that's basically what it is. We're just in the middle of an economic execution ceremony.
Yeah, and the people have asked me, well, and I know... that I actually do know that a number of people in the upper echelons of the Labor Party that I've sent this information to have read it. And why they do not attack, the only reason I can come up with is to why they, because this would destroy, if it goes mainstream, it would destroy, I would hope you'd recognise from what I've just supplied, would destroy John Key's credibility as to whose interests he works in this country, whether it be the public interest or his old banking frat buddies, within minutes. But the thing is, at the highest, it was what I call a diplomatic gag. At the highest level of politics, if they were to attack John Key on this, there are now many people that he used to work with and were involved with that are in higher levels of administrations throughout the world, mainly the American administration. And you would, by attacking him and bringing those guys into disrepute, you would cause what I term a diplomatic incident by insulting another government. And that's the only reason I think, like Phil Goff being... he was the Minister of Foreign Affairs, would be far more susceptible to that gag than anybody. And my interpretation of watching the debates so far at the leadership level is Key sounded him out to see how far Phil Goff might step out of the current economic box. And once he's realised that he's not going to, he's just hammered him. And that's my observations.
I think that when we talk about the Prime Minister, it's important to note that many people have lost their suspicions of the bankers. Am I mistaken, or back in the day was there, like in the time when movies like It's a Wonderful Life were made, was there an inherent suspicion among people of major corporate banks, and they liked privately owned little kind of local banks instead?
There's been a massive struggle between what the public issuance of currency and the private issuance of the currency in the so-called Western world for 300 years now. The Labor Party itself was in 1909 pulled out from what they called the Liberal Labor government at the time, because there had been a boatload of banking crises through the 1800s. And they went into a coalition government, the Labor-Liberal coalition government, and they pulled out in 1909, and what we know as the Labor Party today was actually their very founding ideals were monetary banking and credit system reform. In fact, when they got elected in 1935, for only the second time in the history of our country, the other time was back in 1845, we actually issued some of our own currency, and that was to begin the state housing project. That was money borrowed from nobody and owed to nobody, spent into circulation to pay for the workers to go out and unlock our natural resources, which nature supplies for free, and convert them into public services so that they could be supplied into public assets, so that they could be in houses, that they could be supplied as a public service at the cheapest possible cost to society. And so that's the Labor Party's very founding ideals of monetary banking and credit system reform, Vinny, but they've been long since forgotten. And we used to be a very, very financially literate society, and we used to be well aware of this stuff. It's just all being via the media. We've been just completely dumbed down, told that there's no alternative over that many years, told 10 times a day that we're the most transparent, non-corrupt government in the world. And actually, from my studies, like in excess of 10 years I've been studying this now, and most intensively over the last 4 years I've been setting about to get admissions from the highest levels from their own mouths. Mate, you don't even have to scratch the surface very far to expose this financial fraud that we're living under. It's just that no one's looking, apart from yourself and a few other good folks, hardworking citizens like me that you're interviewing here. This year.
This dovetails with, interesting enough, you say you don't even have to scratch the surface, with a new report coming out from the New Zealand Herald, ironically enough, that said that New Zealand now, according to a new survey, has an unprecedented level of corruption. And the average for a considered to be a non-corrupt country response to this question, have you received or taken a bribe in the last year, average response for a non-corrupt country is about maybe 1%. Okay, we had 4% of respondents say, yes, I took a bribe in the last year. Okay, so it's 1 in 20 people on average that are probably working for government or in high positions of finance at the very least, and there'd probably be the higher up levels as well that'll be taking the corrupt charges. But as above, so below. You know, if you've got an inherently corrupt system, it is actually in a person's best interest to therefore act corrupt. And that's kind of why I got out of the corporate telco business, because I saw how everybody else was acting around me and the lengths that they went to make their sales and everything like that. And it's just like, hey, this is just not worth it.
Yep. Well, I think it's becoming more obvious to the average man on the street. I think a lot of people out there are beginning to sense that things aren't adding up, such as the Occupy movement is bringing to light, you know. But they sense that something's not adding up, something's wrong, but a lot of people can't prove it, of course. And those that are meant to protect the public interest, such as the Fourth Estate, known as the media, are meant to be investigative and make sure that there's balanced opinions put out on both sides of things. Our public representatives, most of our public representatives are just career politicians. They're more worried about keeping their snout in the trough and getting next week's paycheck rather than the public interest. They just learn that if you can overcome what most people's fear is of public speaking and get the gift of the gab, it's access to a reasonable living. But, you know, and then they get in there and leave the running of the country up to a bureaucracy. And if you study that bureaucracy, mate, it is just chock-a-full of, you go back through the history, the work history of the people, the main elements of our bureaucracy, chock-a-full of ex-banking sector employees.
Ex-banking sector employees. Now, if you had to perform like a Nazi concentration camp something and define somebody as such an arbitrary thing as round up the unionists or round up the major corporate banksters, and then you just wonder what kind of an effect would that have on society?
I believe it would have a wonderful effect. They've infiltrated most everything that has attempted to be done in the public interest. These guys have infiltrated and headed off and managed to round up. Because I can say, I've made, if you go to my my blog site, publiccredit.blog.com, the level of evidence I've been placing on my blog for many a year now, including the hiring and firing processes within our government, is absolutely disgusting. Our where the rubber meets the road, back in the when we got put into receivership in 1984 to continue to have our debt refinanced by the private central banking network, we had to surrender to a boatload of legislation that they handed us. And basically, it goes right down to the process of the hiring and firing within our government. We have a Minister of State Services and a Commissioner of State Services is just about where the rubber hits the road, as to whether it's supposed to be a separation of powers, where our minister keeps an eye on the Commissioner of State Services to make sure either one doesn't get up to basically tyranny or corruption. The Commissioner of State Services has the right to appoint the chief executives of all of our ministerial departments. And what they do is they go out and basically our state services, the Minister of State Services, only rubber stamps. It's essentially a rubber stamping process of the commissioner on the private side of our public service. So he goes out and gets these recruitment agencies such as Hudson's Global Resources and Manpower and the likes. And when you study the ownership of them, they're owned by the private central banking network. So we pay $27,000 a pop for these recruitment agencies to go out around the world to recruit bankers to come in to be the chief executives of most of our ministerial departments. And then once it is in the statute books that once and then those chief executives become the hirers of everybody below them, independent of the government. And this is fact, Vinny, and I can show you the documents. It's just bizarre.
So you're saying that international banksters are the Viet Cong of the New Zealand public?
A lot of people try and put a conspiracy angle on it. It is actually quite simple, that simple. A lot of people were down there on the weekend trying to prove who was private owners of this building and that building. If you're the private owners of our legislation, you own the country and run the country to your own interests. And that's essentially how it, to the level it goes. They control the hiring and firing at most every step of our so-called public service. They control, I can prove to you that they come in, the IMF send auditors of our higher learning education facilities, institutions, universities and the like. They come out every 6 months to make sure that we are continuing to teach so-called world's best practice. Which happens to be their practice. They control the media around the world. There's something like five major corporations now own 95% of the world's media. It's so concentrated, the editing of it, and you study the ownership of it, and they're the tier one level investment banks. The banks, as that Swiss study showed recently, own 80% of the liquidity basically in the entire world's real economy at present. And this is repeated around the world, is every time you get into debt to them, they come in, basically put you into statutory management, such as that letter that was recently leaked that the IMF, the European Central Bank, gave to the Italian government, saying that they will not, because they like us, we have to go across the road down there. Our Reserve Bank goes across the road to the private debt management office that's across the road, has to go across there every 90 days and find refinancing for debt equivalent to 90% of our entire GDP. So we have to go cap in hand to them regularly. And so basically you do as they say or they'll switch that tap off. They decide whether you prosper or whether you go into recession or depression. And so this is becoming more and more proven. And I can, I have spent near in excess of a decade now gathering this irrefutable information and documenting it on my blog site. But it's a bit depressing sometimes because every time I get a new official information reply from Bill English's office admitting that we're living under the banking system is a fraud and I get my hopes up and I get it out there and I get about 50-odd people read it and then it just stops. Nobody stops. Everybody stops looking. It's just bizarre, mate.
Yeah, well, I think that's what happens when the entire population is basically programmed and brainwashed. Is that, hey, they just react to things that don't matter. Case in point, last night there was a TV piece, and you will love this, America. There was a TV piece between this cafe in frickin' Taihape, little town in the middle of frickin' nowhere that nobody even frickin' heard of, called the Brown Sugar Cafe. And this other cafe, way down the line in Nelson, not even in the same island of New Zealand. There's two big islands, North and the South Island. First was in the North, second was in the South. Called the House of Brown Sugar. And guess what? The Brown Sugar Cafe has trademarked the words Brown Sugar Cafe. So anybody else with the term brown sugar in their name, they freaking take to court and say, you can't have the words brown sugar in your name. It is one person that had happened before said to change their name to Pink Sugar. And then they still prosecuted them. And then they had to change it to the cake shop. Okay, this is the thing that's going on here, and you know what's real funny is the amount of response this got from the public. okay? The copyright trademarking of the Brown Sugar Cafe got more response than their election special. This is how much people don't give a Shiite Muslim about what the frickin' politicians are saying, and they'd rather talk about brown sugar.
Yeah. In defense of the people, I think, though, Vinny, I think the people in New Zealand have just been worn down, haven't they? Because it's just become political culture in this country that political parties make promises during elections, then they get in, view the books and say, due to the economic crap we're in, debt servitude we're in, we can't do what we promised you during the election, and go off and do something else. And it's just become a repeated cycle, has it not? You know, so I can understand why the people of this country are just about beginning to give up on the system, because, you know, we hold referenda that 80% of the people don't want to implement an anti-smacking bill, just ignored. So a lot of people say, you know, it's people's own ignorance is their own fault, but the people of this country, you can't be, could be forgiven for just thinking, well, hell, what's the point? Really, can't they?
Yep, yep. And you know, some people think that, oh, politicians are perfectly fine, you know, they're all just having a good time, and they're not, there's nothing sinister going behind the scenes and what have you. They can say what they want, and everything's all good. And it's like, well, if politicians can say what they want, ask JFK. the two executive orders that he filed before being shot in the head and in the chest and in the shoulder and in the neck and in various other places, and 17 times in the car, was one to abolish the private banking cartel known as the Federal Reserve, and one to abolish the cocaine smuggling cartel and racketeer racket known as the CIA. And they freaking killed him. You can't say exactly what you want if you're a politician, I can assure you. We'll be right back after the break. TheVinnieEastwoodShow.com.
Now you and your family and friends can enjoy the cleanest, most delicious, and healthy drinking water anytime, even while traveling, camping, at sporting events, or in emergency situations. The Berkeleyite removes bacteria, cysts, parasites, and harmful chemicals to below detectable levels. It also reduces nitrates and unhealthy minerals like lead and mercury, while leaving in the beneficial and nutritional minerals your body needs. Berkeleyite is so powerful, it can even purify raw, untreated water from remote lakes and streams. And the optional PF2 filters even remove fluoride. The Berkeleyite LED, with its rechargeable lighting system, can be used as a nightlight or a camp light. To view or purchase your Berkey water system and replacement filters, please visit American Freedom Radio's website at AmericanFreedomRadio.com and click the Berkey banner. Once again, that's AmericanFreedomRadio.com and click the Berkey water banner. Not yet available in Iowa.
Do you realize every day we are being put under constant stress from wireless radiation? What's worse is that you don't even know that it's happening. It puts as much stress on our body as if we had a constant viral infection, draining our energy and sapping our strength, or just making us irritable and fatigued. These wireless fields are being emitted from computers, microwaves, mobile phones, power lines, and any electrical appliance. Now there is a solution. A group of research engineers in New Zealand have come up with an active shielding device that shields you from wireless radiation at a cellular level. Blue Shield comes in three models: a household, portable, and USB that plugs into any computer. The great thing about Blue Shield is it is very affordable and guaranteed to last. A one-off purchase will see you being protected for years to come. Visit AmericanFreedomRadio.com and click on the Blue Shield banner. Blue Shield, brought to you by TheVinnieEastwoodShow.com. Feeling stressed, tired, lacking energy, or lacking libido? Now you can take control of your healthcare goals in the privacy of your own home with the use of reliable, high-quality health products from Ideal Health in New Zealand, conveniently delivered to your door anywhere in the world. You'll find our friendly health team offer well-researched health information plus the highest quality health products. We want to ensure you not only get the best value products available, but also ensure you get the fastest therapeutic results. With over 2,600 pages of health information and natural products, all compiled by our friendly naturopathic team. To take advantage of very special rates, click on the banner at AmericanFreedomRadio.com. And don't forget our convenient delivery service, Ideal Health New Zealand. Leaders in alternative health. That's AmericanFreedomRadio.com and click on the Ideal Health New Zealand button. Proudly brought to you by the Vinnie Eastwood Show.com.
Are you suffering from issues related to angina pain, high blood pressure, congestive heart failure, unbalanced cholesterol, irregular heartbeats, clogged arteries? If so, you are not alone. Millions of people are suffering from one or more of these problems. If you'd like to live your life free of sickness, pain, and fear, live your life with increased vitality, energy, and youthfulness, and experience your body healing itself, then this might be the most important message you'll ever hear. An effective 100% organic nutritional supplement is now available. Heart and Body Extract is an exclusive formula of wild-crafted and organic herbs. It is extremely effective and starts to work within days. Get your Heart and Body Extract today by visiting heartandbody.com or by calling 866-295-5305, 866-295-5305, or heartandbody.com.
You're listening to the Future of Talk. American Freedom Radio. This is American Freedom Radio.
Hi, everybody. I'm Christopher Green. Make sure to tune in to Green Wave Radio every Tuesday and Thursday from 3 to 5 p.m. Central on American Freedom Radio. Hard-hitting and in-your-face, America.
Bonkers.
In my life ain't what it seems. I wake up just to go back to sleep. I act real shallow, but I'm in too deep. And all I care about is sex and violence. And every baseline is my kind of silence. Everybody says that I gotta get a grip, but unless I let Sunday give me the slip.
Bonkers.
Some people think I'm bonkers, but I just think I'm free. And I'm just living my life, there's nothing crazy about me. Some people pay for thrills, but I get mine for free. Man, I'm just living my life, there's nothing crazy about me.
To the Vinnie Eastwood Show, the fastest 2 hours in talk radio, particularly because we're accelerated by nuclear particles from Fukushima in the nuclear-free South Pacific island nation of New Zealand. My very special guest is Ian Parker, and this guy's been doing a full-on decade of research. Anybody out there, have you done the decade of research on John Key and the economy and all this kind of stuff? No, you haven't. So shush and listen, because we're going to hear now from the experts who he's spoken to or emailed an Official Information Act request about damning indictments of the entire system itself. Go ahead, Ian.
Yeah, mate, like we were saying, time flies when you're having fun, so we better get into some of the serious stuff before we run out of time. But just basically to confirm the allegations that our money, issuance of our money supply has been outsourced to private lending institutions that issue it under terms and conditions that make our national debt unrepayable from the day it is born. Boom bust bankruptcy, hand over your assets to for the same corporations that they own, that the people that gave you the predatory loans own. In a document from the 18th of February 2008 on the New Zealand Debt Management Office website, if you just Google securities tendering, they stated this. The New Zealand Debt Management Office will be assuming responsibility for the tendering of the New Zealand government bonds and treasury bills from the Reserve Bank of New Zealand. The transfer will be a staged process that will take place over the next 2 months. This follows many years of the RBNZ acting as an agent for the NZDMO. So that's quite relevant in itself, that, you know, the RBNZ has only been for many years until being officially completely taken over, acting as only an agent. And the funny thing regarding that, Vinny, is since the national government had been in, I've quite often used that article, that press release from the New Zealand Debt Management Office on many blogs, and they've even changed the wording. If you go back there now, you can only find the original document in a PDF at the bottom of the page. And as of the 7th of April, they've updated it to this far more less alarming piece of wording. As at the 7th of April 2008, the New Zealand Debt Management Office has been responsible for the tendering operations of the New Zealand government bonds and treasury bills, so somewhat different to the original article they put out. And as for from Alan Bollard, our current governor of our current Reserve Bank, wrote a book in September of 2010, only last year, titled Crisis, One Central Bank Governor and the Global Financial Collapse. Now, anything we've discussed on this show today, this book far more confirms than alleviates, and to me is the whole thing was a bit of a, when this ever gets exposed for what it, our economic reality gets exposed for what it is, I don't want to be left hanging by myself. I'm basically going to dob in all of the foreign financial advisors I've had and so forth, because on page 19 of that book, he makes this rather revealing observation. Banking practices differ around the world, but we ensure ours meet international standards. These are set by a somewhat shadowy group called the Basel Committee on Banking Supervision, comprised of representatives of large countries, not including New Zealand. The group meets in Switzerland at the Bank of International Settlements. So there you have it. That's from the Reserve Bank Governor himself saying that our so-called financial service sector has its regulation handed down from above.
Like I say, the terrorists hit the wrong target on 9/11.
Oh, that Bank of International Settlements has a shocking past. It was basically created during World War II, or prior to World War II, when things were getting rather dodgy in Europe, so that corporations and nations that were supposed enemies, even during the war, could continue to trade and continue to settle up their accounts. That's basically the guts of the Bank of International Settlements beginnings. When the government guarantee of bank deposits came in 2008, straight after the not long after, well, during actually the election, he states in his book on page 80 of his book that they basically had to call Bill English in to let him in on a little bit more how the system works, which is quite if it wasn't so serious, it's quite funny, mate. He says here, we had further meetings with Bill English about the Reserve Bank's range of functions, some of which he knew from his previous time as a minister, but others he had not had reason to experience, such as payment, settlement systems, currency and liquidity management. Mainly we focused on the economy and the banks. You just got to ask yourself, Finney, what goes on in that place? It's just left to those people across the road to run this country, and they're running it on behalf of, well, not in the public interest, put it that way. He states that at the time of the crisis, they had to go across to Parliament and make a financial stability report. And he even, this is from page 120, and this is the sort of stuff this book contains. I was worried about what might happen at the session. Proceedings are on the record with journalists sitting in the back, television cameras rolling, digital recorders running, and even media blogging live from the room. Select committees have strong powers. They can require people to attend and answer questions. I knew that I might be asked questions about exchange rates, foreign reserves, bank liquidity, and a whole range of topics on which straightforward answers could upset financial markets. The day before the hearing, I rang the chairman and explained my concern. Craig Foss has a background in financial markets. He readily understood the dangers and assured me that he would guide the committee away from dangerous questions in public. What do you think of that, Vinny?
Well, I think everybody who's a criminal should avoid dangerous questions in public.
It's just unbelievable, isn't it? And this is
it's totally believable. And the reason why people don't think it's believable is because they're not psychopaths, okay? If you're a psychopath, this would make sense to you.
Yeah, no, you're dead right. Psychopath is the word that's been chucked around for these people now. That's, you know, people that act and self-interest, no matter the cost to society. It's a great terminology. But and more relevant, and to those that don't understand the what role a bond plays in our economy, the exchange process, and with whom who have the extraordinary powers to make that exchange, and with what they pay for it. I sent an official information request to Bill English's office and received a reply on the 18th of January of 2010 of last year. And question number one, I asked this: could you please tell me what a government bond is and what role it plays in our economy? As you point out on page 7 of your submission, which was a previous submission I put to the non-parliamentary banking inquiry of 2008, that was the inquiry that was meant to take place, but when the National Party got in, they pulled out from it. So the Greens and the Labor Party continued basically on their own in a non-parliamentary inquiry, which amounted to not much. So 7 of your submission, New Zealand government bonds are a wholesale New Zealand dollar-denominated fixed-term debt securities. They are secured by a charge upon and are exchangeable out of the revenues of the Crown. Cash received by government bond issuance is used to fund goods and services provided by the government, e.g. roading, hospitals and welfare payments. Government bond yields provide an indication of the risk-free rate of return in the economy and provide companies and households a benchmark from which to compare returns against those of alternative investments. So essentially that's what they refer to as our primary monetary base into circulation. By an exchange of a government bond, which is a pledge to pay out of the future taxes of the nation for the created credit of the private central banking network. And I can prove that credit. Bill English admits to me. Well, the funny thing is, I asked Bill English who wrote this. He signed off on this reply, of course, but I asked him who wrote it, and they won't disclose who write these things on their behalf under the auspices of being able to give free and frank advice. But so it goes on. I go on to ask, give you an indication of where this cash that they receive comes from, becomes our primary monetary base.
A monetary base is what you build an economy on, and a fiat monetary base is backed by nothing, is essentially the equivalent of building on sand.
Yeah, yeah. It's there's what they call the representative money system. That's where money has no intrinsic value. There's nothing wrong with that in itself, and money essentially being created for free to seed a capital system is not a bad thing in itself, but it's the terms and conditions attached at the very first step of origination that determine whether it actually serves you or whether it puts you into servitude eventually. If you issue it with interest attached, and the entire money supply that circulates is actually credit, is actually the credit of the lenders with interest attached, you're in a mathematical trap because there is not enough principal in circulation to repay the principal and interest. Now, when you sign that loan agreement that's owed in return, you are destined and inevitably to go into bankruptcy and debt repayment crisis. So that's what essentially happens at the moment with our government bond exchange process across the street down there in that precinct. And just to reiterate and confirm that where this cash comes from, I asked this question here. Could you please tell me what they use to buy our government bonds and if that medium of exchange existed before we pledged to pay it back with attached interest out of the future taxes of the nation, or was it an electronic debt book entry? Not anyone's existing savings, but an electronic book entry that brings into circulation new money. The answer was, people purchasing government bonds must do so with New Zealand dollars, but they exchange whatever these the primary bond dealers in the countries they originate, they have to exchange when they buy anything in New Zealand to New Zealand dollars, so that's nothing in itself. Settlement of the transaction between the purchaser and the Crown is by electronic cash transfer rather than physical cash. All else being equal, which we've just explained is now admitted and not even contested at the highest levels, even Alan Greenspan admits that there's a flaw in the money system. Mervyn King, the governor of the Bank of England, admits that the systemic shortage of principal in circulation to principal and interest owed now due to the entire system being electronic money is a fraud, at the least a flaw, but a fraud. So all else is not equal. So this is the obfuscation they use. All else being equal, bond purchases result in a reduction in settlement cash balances of the banking system, either at commercial banks, the Reserve Bank, or both, as cash is transferred to the Crown. At the bottom of this, it says, an explanation for how this cash may originally be created is included in the answer to question 5 below. Now, in question 5, I ask about the domestic, the right of the domestic, how the domestic banks create their money. So this is remembering, he's saying that an explanation is in below. So this question 5 was, is it true that in excess of 90% of the money supply and circulation in New Zealand enters circulation as interest-bearing debt owed to the banking network? It is correct that most, and this is the answer, sorry, and over the years, when they give you these, I've realised during these answers, they'll give you a little bit of truth and then they fill it with a bit of spin and then a bit more truth. They mix it up to try and confuse you because they know that once you have the evidence, they're defending a thin line. But the answer was, it is correct that most of the money supply in New Zealand has been created by the banking sector. This is done through the process of financial intermediation. Commercial banks and other financial institutions take deposits from members of the public and firms who wish to hold cash in the form of bank deposits. They then lend to individuals and firms who want to borrow in the form of mortgages or business loans. This process serves to channel funds between savers and borrowers. It also shifts risk of lending from individual savers to the banks, thereby reducing the risk of lending. Now, that is complete and utter spin. The entire thing, from their own documents, from the New Zealand Bankers Association, the Reserve Bank itself, just make it clear that the whole process is the creation of loans and the extinguishing of loans. It's not the re-lending of deposits that they try and imply. And these great bailouts happening at an international level from the European Central Bank, which are a bunch of private massive banking houses, these are no great savings that they've earned from years of hard work during the entire industrial age or something, these massive amounts. This has created credit. And so they go on to tell now this is the truth. This process of intermediation involves the commercial banks lending a greater value of funds than the cash they reserve to meet expected deposit withdrawals. This is done because at any one time, only a fraction of depositors will want to withdraw their funds. Banks therefore need to keep only a fraction of their deposits in reserve in order to meet those demands. Because the banks lend more than the total amount of cash held in reserve in the system, credit is created, thus increasing the money supply. So there you have it. Remembering that he said an explanation of how the money's created, what they use to pay for it at the international level is explained below, as I've just explained. So at both the international level and the domestic level, the banks create our money supply out of nothing and lend it to us at interest. And when you study the ownership of the international banks, 30% of it is owned by the wealthy, about the 80% of it is owned by probably about the wealthiest 30 private families in the world. And via the process of the stock exchange process and corporations, they own 80% of the liquidity in the corporations that own the domestic banking system. So it's a little closed loop network.
Yeah, it's a closed loop network. And the energy only flows one way, all the way up to the top, to the giant neon eye at the top of the pyramid, flashing down on you and saying, look, everybody, I'm watching everything that you do, like the giant eye of Sauron. And then John Key gets pulled out of the muck as a freaking orc or something like that.
Whom do you serve, Errol Lynch?
What would your life be like if you woke up each morning with new vitality, feeling better than you have in years, and you noticed a difference in your sleeping patterns, blood sugar levels, and had a sense of well-being overall? There's something that is changing thousands of people's lives, and you could be one of them. It's called Heart and Body Extract. Sharon Harris, co-creator of Heart and Body Extract, talks about the positive effects of Heart and Body Extract.
What happens with the formula Heart and Body Extract is it's giving the body the necessary vitamins, minerals, amino acids, enzymes, and phytonutrients so the body will heal itself. And yes, the body does have the ability to balance blood pressure, balance cholesterol, clean and unclog the arteries. It can also work on balancing the circulation for diabetics. So the body is an amazing thing. It simply needs some help so it has the tools to heal itself.
Heart and Body Extract gets results. To order your 2-month supply, call now, toll free at 866-295-5305. Order online at hbextract.com.
The First Amendment in the Bill of Rights limits the government's power by ensuring freedom of speech and preserves the rights of the people. Every day that passes, our rights gradually slip away. It's time to take a stand and let the government know that we are tired of losing our rights. LibertyStickers.com will allow you to express your rights and allow millions of people to see you stand up for what you believe in. LibertyStickers.com carries the largest selection of bumper stickers online, ranging from political to humorous. As always, you can find your favorite stickers that protest the war and the president. Don't see what you're looking for? Liberty Stickers will custom make stickers that will get your message across for all Americans to see. Go to LibertyStickers.com and see pre-made stickers that will get everyone talking. That's LibertyStickers.com or call 877-873-9626. Liberty Stickers, the world's most dangerous stickers.
Following a radiological or nuclear event, radioactive iodine may be released into the air and then be breathed into the lungs. Radioactive iodine may also contaminate the local food supply and get into the body through food or through drink. When radioactive materials get into the body through breathing, eating or drinking, the thyroid gland quickly absorbs the chemical. Radioactive iodine absorbed by the thyroid can then injure the gland. But you can protect yourself with use potassium iodide, which acts to block radioactive iodine from being taken into the thyroid gland and can help protect this gland from injury. To take advantage of very special rates, click on the banner at AmericanFreedomRadio.com. And don't forget our convenient delivery service, Ideal Health New Zealand, leaders in alternative health. That's AmericanFreedomRadio.com and click on the Ideal Health New Zealand button. Proudly brought to you by the Vinnie Eastwood Show.com.
Now you and your family and friends can enjoy the cleanest, most delicious, and healthy drinking water anytime, even while traveling, camping, at sporting events, or in emergency situations. The Berkeleyte removes bacteria, cysts, parasites, and harmful chemicals to below detectable levels. It also reduces nitrates and unhealthy minerals like lead and mercury, while leaving in the beneficial and nutritional minerals your body needs. Berkeleyte is so powerful, it can even purify raw, untreated water from remote lakes and streams. And the optional PF2 filters even remove fluoride. The Berkeleyte LED, with its rechargeable lighting system, can be used as a nightlight or a camp light. To view or purchase your Berkeley water system and replacement filters, please visit American Freedom Radio's website at AmericanFreedomRadio.com and click the Berkeley banner. Once again, that's AmericanFreedomRadio.com and click the Berkey Water banner. Not yet available in Iowa.
News and information you can trust. This is American Freedom Radio. Freedom. Freedom. American Freedom Radio. Radio. American Freedom Radio.
Truth Brigade Radio. Live Monday through Friday, 7 to 9 p.m. Only on AmericanFreedomRadio.com. The truth has just gotten hotter.
Yeah. Tonight we're gonna make love. You know how I know? Because it's Wednesday. And Wednesday night is the night that we usually make love. It's because it's when everything is just right. There's nothing good on TV.
We've passed progressive legislation to take down your trade barriers so that we can move our companies in and make sure that your entire country gets completely enslaved. Oh, yeah. It's business time. That's John Key's theme song, ladies and gentlemen. A Flight of the Conchords, wonderful New Zealand band, who have also been to Wall Street, just like our Prime Minister, John Key. We unfortunately only have one more segment. And like they say in the movie 2012, I wish we had more time. We're very special, fabulous, and somewhat of a reciting machismo. Ian Parker, welcome back.
Thanks, Vinny. I just thought it might be good to show people, rather than exposing this fraud they're living under and hope that they go out and cause and revolt in the streets or something like that. I'm much more into to winning things by a revelation of information, and I'd just like to disclose and give people hope that there are a rising number of what they call alternative economic thinking institutions at the very highest levels around the world now that that are starting to push forward alternatives to our current economic thinking. the likes of, you know, even to the likes of a chap called John Fullerton, who was the managing director of J.P. Morgan over an 18-year career. And you don't get much. J.P. Morgan is one of the premier private banking houses in the world. And outside of being in the family, this guy is probably the closest to the top you'll ever get. And these are the levels of admissions you're now getting. You know, from an interview he gave in 2011 to the Institute of New Economic Thinking, he said this: "Now, I learned that a lot of what we practice in finance through no ill intent, this is unrelated to the financial crisis and the ethical challenge of the financial system, but that the system itself is designed to propel growth in the economic system with no regard to the physical boundaries of the planet and with little regard to the social criteria, social constraints of human well-being. And so it struck me that a lot of the symptoms that we talk about, such as climate change, obviously being on top of everyone's agenda, but ecosystem degradation, soil degradation, biodiversity loss, all of these issues are symptoms of an economic system that is essentially bumping into the boundaries of the biosphere. And if you think about finance and even our money system, which is built on a money system which is created through expanding money that has interest associated, so as the money supply grows, the requirement to service money grows at a compound rate. That forces, at a systemic level, the economy to continue growing, which, if the economy is related to material throughput, eventually creates this conflict with the boundaries of the biosphere. So it's been a very profound realization, and what I have discovered is that there are an increasing amount of people thinking about this question, but it's very much outside the halls of conventional economics and very much new economic thinking." So these are the levels of admission that we're getting around the world today. There is an actual institution started up in America called the Institution of New Economic Thinking that contains most all of the economists that I've become to trust, because I don't trust them until they start challenging the bankers themselves that have been in the system. They're now coming out and challenging the system, and I only trust them, Vinny, when their own start turning on them. You know their intentions are good then. So, and just in New Zealand alone today, it's becoming more mainstream. A chap called Ralph Manji, who runs an institution called Sustento, is pushing for what they call an alternative honest public money system, whereby the government takes back the issuance of currency to spend into circulation directly, free of the impost of the middleman's interest. He was on Kim Hill on Radio New Zealand at 8:15 this morning. So this is starting to hit far more mainstream. There is a major battle going on. Like the in the forums that I inhabit and observing these new rising international institutions of new economic thinking, the struggle is huge between those that currently control the system and those that are basically, they're even using terms such as this has to stop or it's a threat to civilization itself, which is completely true in my opinion. And the battle is really heating up, but sadly, in my view, the battle is heating up, but the stakes are the highest they've ever been. These guys have put this place in place, this thing systemically in place around the world at the greatest level they've ever managed to achieve. And if they actually win out this time, which going on what's happening in Europe, many nations have tried to go to these primary bond, predatory lending bond dealers and say, "Hey, man, this, you know, these national debts you've given us are unrepayable," and many people are saying by systemic formula, but they keep coming back with their tails between their legs. They're even replacing governments with bankers. I see in Greece, they've just appointed a guy that wasn't even elected to a party on the list or by electorate. Looks like he's going to become the prime minister.
I love that. I love that. Who's this guy? I don't know. Does he work for an international banking cartel? Yeah, he does. All right, let's let him rule the country then.
Yeah, it's just incredible. And the likes of Ireland actually got they elected the most recent government on an actual policy plank of monetary banking and credit system reform. They went to these private bondholders that are the European Central Bank, and they said, "Hey, look, you know, it's becoming admitted at the highest levels that what you're doing is a predatory fraud. We want to renegotiate our debts, if not tell you to go and take a flying leap." And they basically stood up and said, hey, you will fulfill the obligations of your previous government. It doesn't matter who the hell the Irish people elect anymore. All the international regulation that these guys have basically written, such as the World Trade Organization and everything, just supports the corporate charter of maximizing profits for corporations. And when you study now, the empirical evidence has been done that confirms that these guys basically, the 30-odd richest, most wealthiest families in the world by the ownership of the banking system have now created basically one world global corporation with international regulation that just supports their charter of maximizing profits for the shareholders, which are them. This is essentially what we're facing, and this is the struggle.
Well, the definition of fascism is when the corporations take over the state. So essentially what we're talking about here is a fascist uprising that is happening globally, being facilitated by international bankers who have realized that the easiest way to manipulate people into giving up their sovereignty, assets, and ability to govern themselves is through public-private partnerships, eventually withering away the size of the state so that there is nothing to protect the citizenry from the ravages of a global banking cartel. There are many other agendas that are going along inside of this, namely Agenda 21, the agenda for the 21st century, was signed in the Rio Earth Summit in 1992 on Prince Charles's yacht. And our former Prime Minister, Jim Bolger, was there to sign it, as was the former El Presidente of the USSA, George H.W. NWO World Order Bush, all signed it. And it basically is nothing more than the eradication of private property, because all the property will be in the hands of the bankers, the eradication of all freedom, because all freedom will be completely handled by the bankers. There's a new company called Verichip. Check it out. They can load all your financial information, all your ID and everything onto a chip under the skin. And if you do something the bankers don't want, they can turn your chip off, which means you can't buy nothing, including food. A complete, total, surveilled, police-stated society where any form of dissent, any form of freedom, any form of good health, self-sustainability, self-responsibility, and any form of independence will be completely eradicated forever unless we do something to stop it in its tracks, because there is only one way it can succeed. And there's only one way for evil to succeed. It's for good people like you and me, Ian, to do nothing.
Most definitely, mate, and the stakes are high. But just hopefully, before we run out of time, in that regard, there's been a group in the UK that have been operating for a while now called Positive Money. Now, this is based on taking back the issuance of the currency into circulation as a positive serving society rather than the current private debt-laden negative drain upon society. They've been doing some good work, and they've actually managed to even get the governor of the Reserve Bank of England on side to end fractional reserve banking within the domestic banking system, and in order that banks have to go back to 100% reserve banking to make them stable again. They haven't gone all of the way, or Mervyn King's hasn't actually stipulated taking back the money issuance to the public to the public side of things yet. But he's definitely, even he is coming around to new economic thinking. And these guys have done great work over there, this Positive Money group, and there's a group, Sue Hamill and Don Richards have actually brought this Positive Money idea over to New Zealand, and there's actually now a Positive Money New Zealand group. And I would encourage anybody in this country to go and visit their website, and because in my 10 years of study, it is one of the most viable, comprehensive alternative solutions that has yet been put forward, and is starting to be even looked at and supported at the highest level. So I'll just encourage people to go and take a look at that, Vinny.
And what's your website as well? Plug that one.
My website is publiccreditorbust.blog.com. So that's all littles, one word, public credit or bust. And as for the people of America, also a guy I respect from in America is a guy called David C. Corton. On his website recently, you come up with a document of how to liberate America from Wall Street. It was is the most comprehensive and viable alternative I believe I've ever seen, even above Positive Money Group. It tackles the international trade issue they always chuck up if people go back to internally balancing their economies. It's a brilliant document. I'd encourage the people of America to read it. David C. Corton, How to Liberate America from Wall Street.
Yeah, and if intellectualizing and understanding the problem is too much for you, I'm sure just tying a rope into a noose will probably do just as well. Thank you very much, Ian, for coming on the show with us today. And, as always, death to the New World Order and such. And you have yourself a fabulous weekend, yourself and ladies and gentlemen. Thank you very much. Archives at the VinnieEastwoodShow.com.
Pleasure, Vinnie.